Welcome to break number 67. You know, as I do this Nehemiah stuff, I do ask myself, I wonder if anybody is listening or is interested. Why would anybody want to be interested in finding out about the details of their obstacles or some of the challenges or how things go about resisting those of us that want to try to make ourselves a little better to please God? Well, you know, if that's the case, then look at it this way. I am still amazed, which is why I enjoy this Nehemiah and Jeremiah so much. There is so much in there that this is a long time ago when this thing with Nehemiah took place, and yet nothing's changed. The enemy does the same thing all the time when you're trying to make a change for the better. These are the things that will go against you. And I suppose those of us that are up there in a few years, we have our proof in the pudding that this is exactly what takes place. Well, that's one of the things I find out that's so exciting about a King James Bible. Every word is exactly the way God wants it to be, and it's always been the right word forever. Not just back in the Bible days or the early Paul days or the after the Paul days, early America, whatever. This is what the enemy has always done and will continue to do so right up to the moment when he finally goes, you know, I think I'm losing this thing after a while. He'll get to this. Anyway, so we're break number 67. We are chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and there's not much to say here other than just, let's just read through this thing, and let me just point out some thoughts here. Kind of a commentary, I guess. Not that I'm big on commentaries. You can read this for yourself, and you've got your own commentary. But like they say in the modern church world, I just want to share my thoughts as I read through this thing. Because, you know, after a while, you get tired of having no one to talk to that appreciates and understands and gets excited over the words of God anymore. Those of us that do, we're so far apart and we get so tired of emailing, and I'm so far behind with my emails again. And we've all got our battles and issues and challenges and health things and financial this and family matters. But, you know, I guess I'm going to have a chance to say this and get it out and then get on with my day. I guess that's one way to look at it also. Maybe somebody out there will go, man, this Bible is amazing. And this really helps me know what to expect when I'm going to try to deal with something in my own personal life or in your family or wherever, even within your local church. If you're going to try to stand up for what's right, this is what you're going to be up against. And you'll see why I say that when it comes to Sanballat and Tobiah later on as we get into the next couple chapters. Here we go, chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? So this Sanballat and Tobiah, they knew the place was a mess. And what can these Jews possibly do with this mess that's out there? You know, you've got people that look at you and go, man, your life is such a mess. And you're going to try to fix this? How can you possibly make any changes in your life? Look at what you've done. Look at your testimony. You know, and there's something that I've never forgotten from a family standpoint. A prophet hath no honor in his own country, I think is how it is put in Matthew. I think it is, or the Gospels anyway. And you know, you've got people that know you so well. Your family, your mom and dad, your brothers, sisters. They know you. They look at you and go, right. You're going to get a hold of a King James Bible, and you're going to make your life different. You're going to change. Are you kidding? How can you do this? Are you willing to sacrifice? How are you going to strengthen yourself up? You're just a feeble person like all the rest of us, and besides that, we know how you've been as a child. We know what you were like in school. We know what you were like. I mean, you got your testimony, which isn't a very good one. You know, all that kind of stuff. If you've been in a religion, you've tried this one, you've tried that one. That didn't work. Now this one. And your kids aren't interested because they've seen so much of this, and now you're going to try to, how are you going to do this? This is how Sanballat and Tobiah were reacting to this thing. Now remember, back in chapter 2, verse 10, he did start right off, just a little quick verse in there, kind of headed us off at the pass, kind of warned us ahead of time. Verse 10, in the middle of all this, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the child of Israel. So you've got people that are grieved because you want to do something to please God. That's just unheard of these days. Have we noticed just how really godless this society has become? America, I mean, there's not even a religion of Christianity. The Christianity, the Judeo-Christian values, the morals are even disappearing. There is just godliness prevailing. And so somebody says, you're gonna try to do something different in your life to fix yourself for God's pleasure? I mean, who do you think you are? Well, besides that, we go back to verse 1, and it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He was wroth. Now, I'm not one to add any word to the Bible. Don't get me wrong here. But I was thinking the word wroth. I mean, that is the word God wants in there. Obviously, he was wroth. But see, wroth is quite angry. I mean, he's really quite angry. So I thought I would just, for the fun of it, look up some synonyms for wroth. And I tell you, this Sanballat, he was not a happy person. Angered. Ballistic. Cheesed off. These are words that we've used, you know. Choleric. Enraged. Foaming. Fuming. Furious. Hopping. Horn mad. Hot. Incensed. Inflamed. Infuriated. Irate. Livid. Mad. Outraged. Rabid. Rankled, riled, riley, roiled, sore, steamed up, steaming, teed off, ticked, wrathful, and angry. He was not happy. And we just got to remind ourselves, this is what's going to happen. I can promise you that somebody's going to get wroth when you do what you try to do. And then it says, and took great indignation. That's even a personal thing. They take it personally. Indignation, strong displeasure at something considered unjust, offensive, insulting, or base, righteous anger. To them, they believe that what you're doing is really wrong. It's not the right thing. You're not being fair. You're offensive. And see, all this stuff, by the way, is starting to fit into the political scene in America. You've got a couple guys, at least one guy, that's really putting things out there. And this is how everybody's reacting to this guy. They're wroth, and they think that they're being offended, indignation, and mock the Jews. Have you seen all the mocking that takes place in our political scene so far? But let's leave the political scene alone. I mean, there's just what it's going to be. Nobody can fix this place except the Lord himself, and he'll come back, Revelation 19. He'll fix it. Oh, he'll fix it. But anyway, so Sanballat, wroth, took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And that's what will happen to you, or has happened to you, or is happening to you, as far as that goes. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Who do these guys think they are? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Can they make it to the end of the day? Are you going to make it through the end of the day with what you're trying to do? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What a mess there was in that city. What a mess in our lives. And we're going to try to fix it. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So Tobiah's two cents were, listen, if they actually get this thing going, it isn't going to last. Now, you yourself know, and other people know, that what you're trying to do, this might be the 10th time you tried to do this. 15th time. Maybe just the second. Maybe just the third. And they figure, well, he'll get rid of that, or she'll do this, and she'll change her clothes, she'll change her attitude, they'll change their ways, but, you know, it won't last very long. Something will come along, and boom, they'll be right back into what they were doing. And sad to say, that is very true. That's often what gets us. We made it for a couple days, and then, you know, somebody drops a sandwich in your lap. Well, here, why don't you have this extra? Okay. Well, here, this is a great sale price for this item. Yeah, but I don't want to wear this kind of stuff. Well, here, I'll get it for you. I mean, all sorts of things can happen. I tell you, Sanballat and Tobiah, they are still alive, and they are still in each one of our circles out there. Anyway, let's keep going here. Okay, verse 4. So, now you got to read this slowly and carefully because it doesn't say here, and now Nehemiah prayed and said, it just goes right over to Nehemiah here. You read this carefully, you'll see it. Well, this suddenly becomes Nehemiah speaking. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So that's Nehemiah. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Okay, so we look at 4 and 5, and we see again their prayer. That's pretty heavy-duty prayer. You get them, God, is what they're saying. And pastors will teach people today. Well, see, if you don't do the right thing, then, God can, he doesn't have to forgive you. You got to confess him, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And, I'm telling you. Anyway, so verse 6, we built a wall. And for the people had a mind to work. And that reminded me of something in Ezekiel, by the way. In Ezekiel, it says in chapter 16, verse 49, that phrase where it says, for the people had a mind to work. I mean, they're going to get this Jerusalem rebuilt because they have a mind to work. We don't have a mind to work today, especially in our younger people. I guess I shouldn't even just say younger people. If you go through the rest of the part of the country, there's adults, young adults, middle-aged adults. They don't want to work anymore. They just want the government to give it to them. Thus, we have the election we have coming up. But it says here in verse 49, which really has described America for quite a while, but not as much as it has to this day. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See, what we're doing here, we're taking the people, we're taking away their mind to work. We're not strengthening the hand of the poor and the needy. We're just giving stuff to them. And as a result, they have turned themselves into purposeful poor and needy because they know the government will give them stuff. I'm always amazed at the poverty level I have at the school where I teach and some of the kids, and yet mom takes a trip someplace, mom buys them phones. I mean, you know, they got their stuff, but then they'll expect everything else to be given to them. And I'm for helping out the poor and needy. But what do? You help them get stronger. That's what God says we need to do, and that's a good description. I guess that would be a sermon in itself in Ezekiel there. So let's keep going here, verse 7. How are we doing for time? I think what we're going to do is we're just going to stop here and go right on to the next break.